Tegan McGowan, and she's from Norfolk, Virginia, and she's the Assistant Director of the Consortium for Infant and Child Health, otherwise known as CINCH.
Thank you all for being here this afternoon. As he mentioned, my name is Tegan McGowan. I work for CINCH as the Assistant Director. I'm going to be talking to you about some research that we did at CINCH called Factors Affecting Sustained Enrollment in Virginia's SCHIP and Medicaid Programs for Children at Annual Redetermination. Formalities out of the way here, no relationships to disclose. And I do have to apologize for the arrows on the slide. During the upload, they sort of decided to shift off to the right there. They should be in between those percentage points. But to get started here, Virginia's SCHIP program is called FAMIS, the Family Access to Medical Insurance Security Plan. And Virginia's Medicaid program is called FAMIS Plus. Both of these programs are run in combination with each other under an umbrella made up of these two components. Our FAMIS Plus, our Medicaid program, covers children who are up to 133% of the federal poverty level, while FAMIS, our SCHIP or expansion program, provides coverage to children at 134% to 200% of the federal poverty level. For the past 6 years, the lead agency in our community that has done the outreach and the enrollment assistance for these programs in Hampton Roads, Virginia, has been the Consortium for Infant and Child Health, where I work. And this is a community health coalition that was established over 15 years ago, and we focus on promoting health and preventing disease and injury among children in Hampton Roads. So it was the CINCH's outreach team that had focused on initiatives and application and enrollment assistance over these years. The CINCH team worked to help our area families become aware of the insurance programs and with application assistance. For FAMIS programs, once a family has been approved to receive coverage for their children, they do have to go through an annual redetermination process every year. So this starts on the one-year date from their enrollment, and then they have to go through this re-enrollment process every year thereafter. So the CINCH team was experiencing low enrollment rates, because families were not going through this redetermination process, and we wanted to look into that further. So the specific issue that my research addressed was an occurrence called churning, and through literature review, churning is defined when families do not participate in the renewal process to retain coverage at annual redetermination, but subsequently initiate the enrollment process again a short time later, usually 2 to 3 months. So when families don't go through this redetermination or re-enrollment process, the insurance coverage is automatically expired, and then the child is terminated from coverage, even if they are still eligible for the actual program. So, but then if a parent does want or need the insurance for their children, they have to start the whole process of enrollment over as though it's their first time. So basically, the child churns through the system, and that's where that term comes from. The negative impacts associated with churning include unnecessary coverage gaps for children who may otherwise still be eligible, increased administrative costs, and of course, lost time for both the enrollees and the program staff. There was a study that was published in 2006 by Laura Summer and Cindy Mann, published at the Georgetown University Health Policy Institute, and it looked at churning in 4 states, Virginia included, although it didn't provide us any specific local level data to Hampton Roads, which is the geographic area that our coalition covers. So we wanted to focus on that for this project. Therefore, the purpose of this research was to investigate and determine the reasons for churning in both the FAMIS, in both of the FAMIS programs in Hampton Roads. And we had expected to find that the leading factors that would influence churning were communication barriers, lack of knowledge regarding the re-enrollment process, and an unwillingness or maybe not a priority to the family to re-enroll. We developed a methodology to survey families from both programs in an effort to identify the reasons for churning. The participants for this study were families that were due for renewal of coverage in the previous 12 to 18 months. We chose this 12 to 18 month period to mirror what was published in that previous research that I had mentioned. So we used the Cinch client databases to generate a list of family contact information who met that inclusion criteria, and we developed a survey tool with 13 questions, staggered questions, had multiple follow-up questions, and a multiple choice, short answer, and Likert scale format. Once the survey was developed, we did test it in phase one on 30 individuals, and then we went back and revised the survey a bit based on the first phase. The survey itself captured information about demographics, past and present enrollment, perception of the child's health status, and about any lapses or gaps in coverage that the children may have had. This table indicates the number of phone calls completed and phone service outcome during the testing phase, and then also for phase two when we actually did the data collection. So there's a lot of data on the slide, but I just want you to actually focus on the right-hand column. Of the 413 phone calls that I made to different families, 47%, almost 40% were non-working, disconnected and wrong phone numbers. And then again, there was another 40% that were not available or did not answer. So a lot of phone calls to make and then not reaching a lot of people, which of course is problematic not only for my research here, but for our program staff also, not being able to reach the families when they need to. Of the 413 different phone numbers called, 14% had valid phone numbers. And of that, 33 people consented to go through my survey. And of those 33, we had identified 12 as churners. This figure shows the percent of participants represented by city. Norfolk, of course, is the greatest at 46%. And this is not surprising for us, as Norfolk is the largest city with eligible yet uninsured children that the Cinch team assists. This table shows the current health insurance status for children whose families that I spoke to. 55% of them were currently covered by FAMIS programs, 30% were covered but not by either of the FAMIS programs, and another 15% had no insurance coverage at that time. Of the 55% that were covered by the FAMIS programs, they were asked if they had ever had a lapse or a gap in coverage for their children, and 12 of them had indicated that they had. So this table here shows the reasons for some of the common reasons for a lapse of insurance coverage. A large number said that they did not get the reminders in the mail or by phone. Others had mentioned that they felt that their re-enrollment process was mismanaged. There wasn't enough time between getting the reminders and then the renewal for the deadline. Some did not even know that they had to renew or that they intended to, and you know, personal situations got in the way, trouble with paperwork, or that the process was too difficult. Here's just one of the reasons that was given to me specifically about a lapse in coverage. The process was too difficult. They said they mailed the paperwork and I never got it. This went round and round for 2 months to get everything straightened out. All the while, this is 2 months that the child remained uninsured. So this table here compares our churners to non-churners. There were more non-churners who thought that the initial enrollment process was difficult. The same number of churners and non-churners indicated that they did not, that they did know that they were supposed to renew the coverage. Less churners reported healthy children, and on average, both groups had about the same number of children in the household. None of these values are statistically significant, and we felt that might have been due to the small sample size. So kind of wrapping things up here a little bit, just to kind of bring things together, the factors that we felt that most influenced churning for our area, obviously the large number of disconnected and wrong phone numbers was an issue. Like I said, not only for me, but for our program staff, they're not able to reach the families to remind them about the renewal or to even assist them with the renewal process. In addition, there were some communication barriers from some of the families that I spoke to who felt that their case was mismanaged a little bit, or that they got the runaround when they called their local Medicaid office. And although this research did not uncover a large number of Turners, the data did show us a glimpse of how transient our population is there in Hampton Roads. Almost a quarter of the participants had told me that they had moved at least once in the past year. And we do have to think about how our geography is laid out in Hampton Roads. We do have several cities that are very close together with their own, you know, local Department of Social Service offices. So we could have a family that lives in Chesapeake and live and then move 5 miles away and then live in Virginia Beach. And so it's a little bit laborious, too, for the requirements that the DSS offices have when families move. They have to put in a request for their case to be moved from one city to another. They have to go to the office to get their address changed in writing. And then if there is mail that the DSS office sends out to the family and then it comes back to them, they can't forward that mail to another address. So instead, their children are at risk for the coverage to be terminated because they can't get in touch with the family. So not being able to get in touch with the families, the geography coupled with the transients in Hampton Roads, and then the DSS requirements for their moving policies all contribute to churning, and it helped to explain the low retention rates, excuse me, for the FAMIS programs. We found this information to be useful in several ways. Not only did we add to our knowledge about what churning is, but we also had a better understanding about the factors that contribute to churning in our area. We've used this data for reporting purposes on our grants and to the state. And then we also had a chance to look at our operating processes that we examined to see how we can better keep in contact with our families. In addition, we've also used this information and the high rates of those invalid phone numbers as we consider planning and initiatives for other types of child health outcomes, or excuse me, initiatives. Lessons learned and limitations. Lesson learned is that the telephone may not be a reliable means of contact for this population. Limitations came in survey development. We felt that it really would have been nice after we revised that survey to go ahead and test it again on another 30 or so individuals, but due to time constraints, we weren't able to do that. And the sample size was a limitation, of course, too. There were actually over 700 families who met our inclusion criteria, but again, with the not being able to get in touch with many of them, our sample size was quite small. Excuse me. And then I also felt that there was a little bit of selection bias with this process. In conducting a telephone survey, the only participants that could participate were those who had a working phone number. So just by virtue of those who had a working phone number, it's probably a chance that they're already non-churners to begin with. So for my recommendations, I think that this research has really laid some groundwork for future research on churning in our Hampton Roads area. Further research could be conducted using the current survey, but it should be developed and refined a little bit. I think that we need to, at this step, try to concentrate on raising awareness, not only about the renewal process, but also about the impact that it has when we don't have the correct contact information for the families. And then I would say that perhaps we can work on strategies that can be developed to target the local and state DSS offices about their current re-enrollment criteria as well as their moving notification process. And then, of course, we can take some of this information learned from this research and use it as subject matter to guide some focus groups, perhaps with some of our current families and the outreach staff as well as the local and state DSS offices. I would like to take a moment just to acknowledge the others that worked very hard on this project with me. Jeff Johnson, who's here in the audience with me today. And we'll hold questions for the end. But I did want to leave you with a couple of thoughts that were passed along to me during the data collection. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you so much, Tegan. And our next presenter, actually, we have a